Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside Steve Harmison, looking back at a madcap day of action at the Adelaide Oval. It started in farcical circumstances and ended in painful ones. Plenty to discuss, and not all of it bad, actually, despite the fact England are staring at a big defeat, as they have done for the last, 4 days, actually. You are listening to the Following On podcast. So if you listen to the show, you probably know by now, England are 6 wickets away from defeat in the second test match, ending the day 82 for four. Joe Root dismissed the final ball, what turned out to be the final ball of the day. Mitchell Starc with a canny piece of bowling. England starting it behind the game. They actually came back into contention in a weird way. 55 for four when Steve Smith was dismissed, but a decent partnership between Head and Labuschagne put any notion that they could fight their way back into the game to bed, 51 to each. And Australia declared 230 for nine and allowed themselves enough time to get rid of one of the openers, which they duly did before the tea break. Hamid, England's 49th duck of the year. Milan, LBW for 20. Burns played relatively well, I suppose, for 34. And then, as I say, Root last man out for 24. So, plenty to discuss. And there were, actually, some really interesting passages of play today. So, it's a little bit of a more upbeat show, I hope, than we've had over the last couple of days. But we certainly appreciate you joining us.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, do you know what? That was actually a pretty interesting day. First question for you. Has Rory Burns done enough to play at the MCG?
Probably, yeah. We can look at team selection and team changes and everything to go to try and get back in the series, because I think this test match is gone now. I think we are too far gone down the road of Australia going 2-0 up. Has he done enough? He probably has, because Hamid hasn't done enough to stay in the side either. Do we change them both? We haven't got much to lose, to be honest. With, you know, 2-0 down with 3 to play, and we've got to win all three. You know, we can't draw or lose another test match, or that's the ashes gone. And then there's serious question marks on where we go from there. Burns, yeah, Hamid with that one, Butler. You know, if we go 3-0 down, if we lose the ashes, what's the point? Do we say what's the point of playing Broad and Anderson? You know, 150 odd test matches plus each, when we could give somebody a chance that we think, it's a pity we've sent most of them home, pity, you know, we think that we've got a chance of being in Ashes futures. So all these questions, I'd imagine, are going around the selectors' minds. I think you stick with Burns. Unfortunately, I think if there's one you leave out, as probably would be, I would possibly think about leaving Hamid out, because he's younger, he's more inexperienced, and this series might have just got to him, a bit, you know, big for him, where Rory's been, he's a bit more experienced. You'd think in this unit, he's one of the senior voices, senior players, because he's been around quite a bit. So you probably punt for seniority over inexperience, especially when you're going to the MCG. You win the toss on Boxing Day. and there's 98,000 there, if you're not in, you know, you're not as confident as what you are with your game, then it gobbles you up straight away. So I think Crawley would look at that spot there. But again, Rory looked like Rory does. He looks as though he's got himself into defence quite comfortably. He's faced 90-odd balls. And then his timings are all wrong. Players are one that you're probably question mark whether he needs to play it or not. So I think while it's 2-0 and the series is still going, I think you have to go with the experienced guy over the inexperienced guy, especially for MCG at, you know, when you need to win the test match to win this or to stay in the series.
We'll talk. You're right. We'll talk about this more in depth following tomorrow's show. But I do wonder about the wisdom of bringing in Crawley, because again, he hasn't played. He's played no cricket for God knows how long. But I think his game is more suited. Talk about low hands. We talked about this a few last test, didn't we? And the point you made is that when you play like Hamid, any additional bounce is always going to be a problem for you, and that's exactly what happened today.
Unfortunately, yeah, we said that when he left India the very first time we've seen him. You know, the boy is so suited for playing, you know, subcontinent conditions, you know, playing English conditions when the ball doesn't bounce as much. But you feared for broken fingers and, you know, little clips off gloves and, you know, top edge of the bat because of how low the boy's hands are. And that came to fruition today. He's left the ball nicely on this trip. He has. And because he's got lowish hands, he can get into the ball, then get out of the ball and leave it at the last minute. And he did that very, very well at Brisbane. But in this test match, possibly with the pressure that everything's on it, he's chipped one to mid on in the first innings, and he's the low hands has come to his downfall in the second innings. And whether his mindset is, you know, scramble a little bit, then that might make the enforced change. But, you know, it's not something that we didn't know was going to happen with Hamid. And he probably knew that himself going into the series, that he needed to work on, you know, keeping his hands high and not getting away from his body. That was the thing. It's fair enough having low hands, but if you're pushing at the ball as well, you're actually getting closer to the ball. So it magnifies how much bounce the ball is going to take as it, you know, at once you're out of control in your hands. In this innings, this second innings, not only did he have low hands, his hands were miles out in front of his body and his eye line. He didn't let the ball come to him like he had been doing and leaving the ball. And I think because he's chipped the one to mid on in the first innings, he's probably just wanting to put bat on ball, and he's nicked something that he probably could have let come to him a little bit longer, and he possibly would have made the decision to take his hands away from it and leave it.
By this point, of course, you know, it's Australia had racked up 230 for 9, declared. I mean, having a look at their innings, I tell you what, Smith does not look in control of his game as the Steve Smith that we've become accustomed to over the last few years. And I know it's ridiculous to say he hit 90-odd in first innings, but the aura of the man, you know, it's a shame we haven't been able to put him under more pressure. But I thought Anderson and Broad started off brilliantly this morning. You know, it's a shame they couldn't do that last night, but I don't really blame them. You know, it must be so difficult to keep going back to the well. But something was different this morning. They, you know, the first ball of the day, Hamid threw the stumps down, and it just, you talk about first balls. It just, I don't know if it set the tone, but it certainly set the tone for a mad day. And I thought Anderson and Broad bowled particularly well. But then, you know, Anderson towards the end of the innings bowled really well. To Labuschagne, he bowled two overs, and then Root took him out of the attack and brought on Stokes, and it just completely took out all the intensity. It was a bit bizarre with Root today, the captaincy towards the back end of the series of the session. I actually thought England bowled better when he was off the field, but yeah, I thought they both pitched it up, and there was movement. And I was watching it thinking, oh my days, England are in so much trouble because, you know, they're going to have to bat last on this.
Yeah, I thought the first half an hour was excellent. I thought Broad and Anderson did what they've done for a number of years. And I think what you're going to find in this series, because of the lack of preparation, players are going to get better and better as the series goes on. Fortunately, England could be out of it before they get to hit their straps, and you'll have a lot of people going, ah, well, it's easy winning dead rubbers. And that potentially could happen in this next 4 weeks of Ashes cricket. I thought Broad and Anderson were excellent. You're right. You know, Hamid set the tone by hitting the stumps first up. I'm not sure what Ben was trying to do when he bowled that 2 overs for 24. But it just seems that when England did go hard at Australia and had them in a position where they were creating chances, and they did again, you know, Butler took an unbelievable catch, both offside and then leg side, and then dropped the easy one. That came very, very...
Was this a surprise, first ball, Smith? That catch was in his mind that he'd just taken?
I think they're standing a bit closer. I think the criticism they've been getting, them slipped point of view, they're standing a bit closer. I think when I watched that again, it hit Joss. Joss didn't hit it. And whether he moved late, I'm not so sure. I couldn't really judge whether he moved late. But that hit him. It just seemed to hit him hard. You know, it was like, it literally was. It was there before you could get across to it.
Hit it on the wrist, didn't it?
Hit him on the wrist. So he wasn't in a position where his hand was set or anything like that.
It was just a guess. He just stuck his arm out, basically.
Yeah.
But
it's just as if he moved late.
He took a catch like that. The Harris catch in the first innings. He literally just stuck his glove out there and that one stuck.
He did, and he took a very, very good catch first up this morning when you diving low down.
Yeah.
The catch he took first thing this morning.
That was the best of the lot for him.
And then he gets Smith down leg side off Robinson. And you're thinking, he must be scrambled. There must be things going on inside Joss's head that, you know, really sort of whether the pressures he's feeling in Test match cricket or what. But he's dropped two catches now, which he would be disappointed he hasn't took. But all in all, I thought the first hour of the first session this morning did not just belong to England, but you could see England putting Australia under pressure. And then slowly but surely, Stokes is over, just seemed to derail England a little bit, these 2 overs. And then all of a sudden, Labuschagne and Travis Head just took the game away from England. Because I don't think they were in the contest at 50-4.
But it was interesting, though.
It was not only was it interesting, it was setting down a marker. Harris hasn't got any runs again. Warner is out for 13. You know, Labuschagne, yes, looks as though he's got something on England, but he's been dropped so many times. It's ridiculous. Smith's an under 10. So these are the things that you have to take with you. You know, we can come on to what England did when it came to the batting, but if you're going to lose, you still have to set a marker down. You still have to play psychological games with the opposition. You know, Smith hasn't got. There's another score of under 10 for Smith.
Yeah, and Green, you know, did not convince.
No, but he hung around. That was the thing with him. He hung around, which that was the annoying thing. He's bowled unbelievable in this Test series, probably better than Australia could even dream that Cameron Green could bowl. But his batting's been poor, and we didn't put him under enough pressure.
He doesn't look like another low score at the moment. I've seen him score runs for Western Australia, but where are we with Wokes, man? I mean, you know, another wicketless. I mean,
send him opening a bat, and he looks as competent batsman as we've got. And all of a sudden, he shouldn't be playing. When it comes to he can bat, that shouldn't be our mantra for picking our bowlers. It should be, like I've said millions of times before, batters bat, bowlers bowl. They're handy if they've got a few runs in them. And that is our conundrum where after the Ashes, when we go forward, we might have to bite the bullet with Broad and Anderson and say, look, because they have to play all the time. We then look at, we've got four number 10s. Do we then try and move away from Broad and Anderson and find people who can, you know, look, we're speculating on what's going to happen after the Ashes, but you know, we need a spinner desperately. You know, do we just turn around and say, right, Don Best is the best we've got, and he's the best option we've got when it comes to number eight.
We're not giving
we need to give that person a chance to find.
They need to go and play in county cricket. What are we going to do about Wokes? That's the thing. Wokes, 4 years ago, we said no way, and he got dropped. He didn't play.
Yeah,
and he's.
I think he's a better bowler than he was 4 years ago. I really do. I think he's a better bowler than he was 4 years ago, but he doesn't seem to. He just just doesn't get wickets. That's the problem. And that's your currency. You've got to get wickets. It's all nice and having the ball going over off stump, and it's, you know, it looks good. You can hang your hat on him and you can say, right, he's going to bowl continually from one end. But
even
you don't
that,
get
though,
any wickets.
There were so many four balls. You know, he bowled four balls on a length, and then suddenly he'd drop one short and it'd be smashed away over point for four. And you're like, what are you doing? You know, this is Wokes.
And you can't really say the preparation from Wokes' point of view, because Chris Wokes and Mark Wood are both, they played in the World T20, and they were bowling practice, competitive practice spells rather than just bowling in an indoor school or attending at Loughborough. They were bowling in competitive match action practice in the World T20. So that's why Wokes is playing, I think, more than anything else, not just because he's batting, but also he's been in match situations for a while. So I honestly don't know. Do you just turn away from him? But again, you're looking at very similar. We came away from Australia 4 years ago. We're not going to pick 480-mile-an-hour bowlers. And the first two test matches are exactly the same as the first two test matches in 17-18. The numbers are more or less identical. The amount of overs bowled, you know, runs and wickets taken. And we've not picked a fast lad, and like I've said millions of times in the last 3 days, you know, this is not a long series, it's a short series. And not to pick your fast man and to protect him for test 4 and 5 when you potentially the Ashes is over is madness. So Wokes, I don't know. I really don't know, because He is so, I think he's so important in the team in England now once Anderson starts to go, because I think he gives value, he adds value to the team in English conditions. Yeah. But he struggles to work out, and whether he needs to work it out or he needs people to help him, I don't know. But for some reason, he just doesn't seem to get it away from home. And it's hard work, because you England player, between 15 and 18 test matches a year. And a lot of them are starting to play a lot more away from home than they are at home.
Maybe we have to adopt some horses for courses. You know, Milan has been relative success. He plays in Australasia, maybe South Africa, and then he doesn't play in the subcontinent. And Hamid doesn't play in Australia. He just plays in the subcontinent. And maybe Chris Wokes only plays in England or in New Zealand. Maybe that's just what we're going to have to do until you actually get players that can do it everywhere. It seems strange to have Hamid in the side, who's so ill-suited to playing in Australia, and then Milan coming in at three, who's essentially only playing at three because we're in Australia. It's like, well,
you look at Crawley, who is identified that he plays. This guy's got the game, and he can play. He'll play well in Australia, and then you don't even pick him in the ear side when you play Australia ear to give him a game. There's some questions to be answered, big time. And I think the list is getting bigger than... I think the list is getting as big as Boris Johnson's question list, I tell you.
What do you make of Root's injury? Because Kerry O'Keefe said it on TV, and I must admit I was thinking the same thing. He came in, I'm not sure if you saw it, but he came in and he played two... they're kind of like sweet pull shots to Nathan Lyon, missed both. And then he chased a wide one to Mitchell Starc. And it just seemed like, you know, is this injury a bit more serious than maybe we think it is? It was quite a strange start to his innings. And then, of course, he got absolutely poleaxed right at the end of the day, which was like, you know, that just summed up the Ashes, didn't it?
It does. It did sum up the Ashes, and it is hilarious when it's not you, and when you get hit in the unthinkables, that's painful, and that is painful. And the protection has got a lot better as time has gone on, because I can think of you know, many bygone days where, you know, no helmets, very little protection in that area, and boy, that hurts. But I'm not sure. I don't understand whether he got hit in the same place in warm-up or he was hit a little bit higher. I think he was hit a little bit higher. I think it was more abdominal rather than...
I'm not sure. I think it was in the same place. I think they were just saying...
In the Henry Halls? Yeah. Oh man, that is so to get done. Well, to be fair, that is Joe Root's. That's Joe Root's ashes. Because if you get hit once there, you're unlucky. But to get hit twice within 7 hours, that is wow. Oh my God, that's not even eye watering. I think everything's watering. But he milked it as much as he could. I think on the field, I couldn't stop laughing. I've seen a tweet from Adam Holyoake. I can't, Nick. I've got to see who it's from when he, because he was having a go at, I think the commentators were basically Mark Wall was trying to say, get up, get on with it. You've got to get up. You've got to get on with it. And I think Adams was basically, well, you get 5 minutes in a boxing contest for a low blow. So, you know, he should be able to take his 5 minutes. I think only because there was 10 minutes left in the day. This, we have said some things that on hindsight that we've mentioned that isn't hindsight because of, you know, we've all been talking before test matches on selections and things like that. But this is a hindsight being a wonderful thing. He probably could have gone off. That was my only thing when I was sitting watching it. I was thinking, right, Joe, milk it as much as you possibly can. Get up, face the first ball and say, nah, this is too painful. I'm walking off. You send out a night watchman and then Joe Root comes out and bats tomorrow in the beautiful Adelaide sunshine. Is that going to win the game for England? No, it's not. But what we've seen in that first innings, that if somebody had hung around with Ben Stokes for long enough, Ben was going nowhere. And it looks, again, the way he's shaped up for this innings. He's only got 3 or 40 balls, but he's shaping up as though Australia are struggling to find a way to get Ben Stokes out. Joe Root comes out tomorrow morning and, you know, bright sunshine, gets 100. Ben goes on and gets a few runs. England aren't going to win the game. They're probably not going to save the game. But what that does is, going into the third test match, 100 under the captain's belt, 100. Stokes getting more and more practice in the middle, then it gives England more of a fighting chance that the players and the psychological edges over the opposition would be massive. You know, Mitchell Starc's it was a beauty ball. From around the wicket, he's got to play at it. No matter what anybody says, he's outside off stump. The angle, what Starc had done to him, I thought it was a beautiful bit of bowling. And it was a good plan from Starc because he had been bowling a lot over the wicket. And so he's come round the wicket. He's found the outside edge. And it probably shortens the game by about 2 hours because if Root comes out tomorrow and gets in, Stokes get in, you're looking around about tea time. England could bat and build a score where, you know, one more wicket tomorrow morning early and we could be all over by lunchtime.
Hey, we've had a question from John Brown Reborn. He says, a lot has been said about England's fielding, batting, catching and selection. That's not even the question. It just makes me laugh. We're only like two tests in. I wonder if another problem is ambiguity over who leads the bowling attack. That's actually a point you made, wasn't it? Yeah. After day one of the Gabba test, who's going to be the attack leader to try and defend 147?
Absolutely. And it's a great point. It is a fantastic point, John, because you always look to somebody who, when things aren't happening, right, he's going to do it for me. You know, I know he's going to, and the captain looks for it as well. You know, just chuck him a ball. Michael Vaughan had Andrew Flintoff. Now, whether Freddie could bowl on one leg, if things weren't happening, he'd look at Freddie and give me one over. Because I know for a fact, if you give me one over, this place is going to erupt. You know, just the name from, you know, from the pavilion end, not so much at Lords, but because you know what the crowds like at Lords, not that interesting, but somewhere like Trent Bridge or, you know, Edgbaston, you know, the Tannoy going, Ratcliffe Road end, Andrew Flintoff, whoosh, the place erupts. All of a sudden, from nothing happening, without a ball being bowled, the batsman's looking and going, who's turned the lights on? We still, you know, and Michael always said that. Michael always said that. You know, you all had different characteristics when you were bowling well, but when things was flat and things weren't happening, I just had to throw the ball to Freddie, and these lot did it for us. The crowd did it for us because of what Freddie meant to English cricket, and that's like Broad and Anderson. And when you don't play one of them, or you don't play either of them in the Gabba, you're asking people who are, you know, who are questioning their own place because they're going, well, you know, I'm in the team, but Broad and Anderson aren't. So, yeah, they're questioning their own positions for what's going to come ahead. There's no leader of the attack there, in my opinion, until we got to Adelaide. By that time, we were 1-0 down.
So what's going to happen tomorrow? Let's have a sweepstake between us two. When will Australia take the 10th wicket? First session or second session, first off?
First session for me. I think they'll take the 10th wicket in the first session just before 6 a.m. English time. Might even extend the first session if we are 9 down. But I think the game will be all over by lunchtime and England will score about 150.
Well, so they'll add 68. This is the thing. I hope that Stokes and Butler, and I know it sounds.
So do I.
I just hope they just go in and they just try and smash it around and just have a bit of fun. You remember 2009 at Headingley when Graham Swan and Stuart Broad, the game was over.
Yeah, it was.
They just, was it those two? They just smashed.
Yeah, it was them two, yeah.
Just smash it
put on
around.
A big score, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just go for it. You're never ever going to win this game or bat it out. Just go out there. Yeah, don't try and block it. Just go. Go on.
I remember that game because he smashed it everywhere. And then one of them got out, and 3 balls later, the game was over. and Nick won from me nose off Siddle, and then Jimmy got bowled, I think. So we've gone from absolute euphoria to all over in about 3-4 balls. But
well,
I agree. Go and have some fun.
Exactly. Why not, eh? It's too much seriousness. Well, there wasn't lots. That's the other thing. There hasn't even been that much seriousness. It's been so easy for Australia. They just haven't stopped laughing at everything. I mean, even that follow-up ball from Mitchell Starc, he had to bowl it essentially on. It was like Stuart Broad got sconed last night at Richardson and just had to bowl a bouncer to him again. He probably didn't want to. He was just told to. He had to do it. And Mitchell Starc bowled another essentially ball that was going to hit Root on the box. And he shouldered arms and it missed him. And Mitchell Starc's reaction was it's just laughter all round. Lyon won't stop yapping away. It's really annoying because it just shows how far away the teams are that they can actually just have a laugh all the time. Although Joe Root waving away the spider cam because he thought as he was taking the broken box out of his... Oh dear, it was great. We haven't even mentioned Ollie Robinson bowling off spin, by the way.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And Darvin Milan taking 2 wickets with leg spin.
To save themselves a few quid. That's all it was. And that's where this test match has got to, unfortunately. England have bowled Root bowled, I think.
Winnie?
Root bowled 20 in the first innings, but you've got Robinson bowled 4 overs of spin, Milan 6. So 16 overs of spin to get the over rate back.
Yeah, and 4 wickets.
I don't blame them for that. I really don't blame them for that. I thought the game was just waiting for that declaration. They got 4 wickets. A great story about a box. You know, Dominic Cork, you know, worked for TalkSport for a lot of years. Funny man.
I spent a bit of time with him this year. See, he was on good form.
He's brilliant. Great fun, Corky. But we had a wicketkeeper, Philip Mustard, who was absolutely bonkers. And all he would shout was, "Come on, Army, hit him in the box." And that's all he would shout, Colonel. "Come on, Army, hit him in the box." And he kept, and a Colonel would say it about 4 times and over throughout the day. You get bored of it after a while. And Corky's come up to me, because I'd played for England with Corky, and Corky's come up to me, "Army, what is he on about? Why does he want to hit me between the legs?" I went, "No, in Colonel's eyes, the box is your head." I says, "He says, in Washington slang, box is your head. He wants me to hit you on the head." And Corky went, "Oh, no, not another one to add to the long list of people that want to hit me on the head." "Let's only chat, Colonel. Come on, Army, hit him in the box."
Oh, dear. Oh, well, at least we can laugh.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's reached that point. Mate, I'll let you go. Have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow. We can have a proper look back and look ahead, that kind of stuff. Someone's going to have to carry the can. I'm guessing Hamid and Wokes. We'll see, eh?
I think England could make 5 changes. Up to 5 changes, possibly more for the MCG.
Oh, my God. I did text George about Quick Info saying Root and Milan could be the only players to play in all 5 test matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Possibly. Stokes.
Yeah. But even Stokes, it gets to a point where you're like, mate, just go home. You're clearly not fit. I mean, we've lost. What is the point?
Yeah. I agree. But I think we could make up to 5 changes for this next test match. Our 2 openers might go.
Leave it for tomorrow. Let's leave it for tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, matey, you take it easy. Thanks for listening to Following On. We'll be back tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.